Hi there folks, Paul here signing in for another video. Hello, welcome, thank you so much for taking the time to join with me. Perhaps you're coming back as we begin to wrap up this series, the Sermon on the Mount. Thanks again. Now we're in Matthew chapter 7 today, verses 15 through 20, and I think I'll do as we always do, and we'll read that scripture first, and then we'll give some commentary and some thoughts. So open your Bible if you would, come along with me. Matthew 7, verse 15, I have a little title in mind. It says, "You will know them by their fruits." There's two keys in there, them and fruits. So keep that in mind as we go through it. Verse 15, Jesus speaking says, "Beware of false prophets." Who's the them? They are. "Who come to you," he says, "in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits," what they produce. Then he gives examples and understanding. He says, "Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes? No. Figs from thistles? No. Even so," here in verse 17, "every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." Again, more explanation. Verse 18 says, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit." It almost sounds like a tongue twister, I guess, if we were to say that too quickly, but this is a community where, as part of their sort of their food supply, that chain through the food coming to them onto their tables, it came greatly through agriculture. So they understood exactly what this meant. Certainly verse 19, "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Therefore, he says, repeating, emphasizing the stress of understanding this message. Therefore, verse 20, "by their fruits you will know them." Who are them? They are the false prophets. Verse 15, "who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Now, I want to unpack this just a little bit, but before I do, if I can, a little caveat. Just a point of note, 2 points actually. Number one, when that time comes, and this is figuratively how it works, and we find ourselves standing before God, we cannot use the excuse of, "but that's what he said, that's what I heard, that's what they said." No, we cannot use that as an excuse if we have been taught and believed false teaching, false prophecy, false information. We cannot say, "but they told me." Why not? Because we have this. We have the Bible. We have Holy Scripture. And never before in the history of the world has access to the Scripture been so prevalent across the globe. Yes, there are some places where it is still difficult or illegal to have access to the Word, but not for you and me, most likely watching this right now. Therefore, with that understanding, we cannot use it as an excuse, "but that's what they said, Lord, and I believe them." Because we must be like the Berean community. Now, Berea was a town where the apostles went to, and when preaching, the believers there of Holy Scripture, having just the Old Testament at that time, they then went back and they studied and they looked at what the apostles said and went, "Let's see if this is true in Scripture." We need to be like them. Look it up. It's in the book of Acts. We need to be like them. So when someone is speaking to you, if you hear something new, if you hear something that sounds a little bit odd, go back to Scripture. Don't just look at what they said, but look at the context of everything in its place also. So that's point number one. Point number two, and this one's incredibly important. When I'm talking about these false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing, I'm not just talking about someone who might be up the front, the preacher, the pastor, the teacher, the prophet. No, this could also be the person sitting alongside you, the person across from the dinner table or a coffee table. This could be anyone. Jesus does not specify who it is. So what we have here is a section of Scripture. Interesting, this section and the next, we need discernment in understanding. We need wisdom. So that's worthwhile praying about also. Verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." How do we break that down into an easy bite-sized piece? And I've got to be careful here not to give specific examples, because there are so many, and I don't want you to get drawn or focused just on one thing. Here's the key. I think it's best to say that inside they are ravenous wolves. It means that they have a different agenda. A different agenda to what? To Christ. Now, Christ's mission was clear. It was simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whomever should believe in him would not die but have eternal life. How? Why? This is what we need to understand. We cannot just take a scripture out of context and go, I believe that. Why? Because our sin had separated us from God. And therefore our sins went upon him at the cross of Calvary. And his righteousness then comes upon us. We see that explained clearly throughout Scripture. That was Christ's mission, to restore us to relationship, to redeem us with the Father. That was Christ's mission. Holy, solely, God-focused, not us-focused. This is what I want you to see. This is what I want you to understand. God-focused, not us. Salvation, repentance, faith, these things are Christ-focused. In a sense, as Christ died on the cross for us, we are told in Scripture that we must now die to ourselves for him. That is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that we be redeemed with the Father, filled with the Holy Spirit. Not everyone teaches that. Not everyone makes that their first primary focus. They have a different agenda. This is what I want you to be looking at. I have a note here, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writing. You can read the entire context for yourself at another time, but he says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, he says, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Folks, this is what I want you to grasp from this, and this is why discernment and understanding and wisdom is needed every single day, not just on Sundays, every single day. The enemy is subtle. Satan himself can masquerade as an angel of light. False prophets come into our lives in a way that looks appealing. They use scripture, they speak the language, they speak Christianese, they have faith, but if you carefully listen, if you listen and you observe, something, it's just a little bit off. This is what I'm trying to say here. And you may not even notice it in that first moment, in that first message, in that first month. You may not notice it, but over time, you just see that something is off, and the subtlety, and they use scripture twisted just enough to lead people away from the cross of Calvary and that focus, Christ focused, and they focus on us. They focus worse yet on them. And obviously there are some that are so clear in all of this, but we see the warning here, and we must remember it. Listen here, even so. Verse 17, every good tree bears good fruit. Let's talk about just the pastor preacher for the moment. The fruit, it's what you see in their lives. Yes. It's what you see in their behavior. Yes. It's also what you see in the lives and the behavior of those who sit with you and listen and learn, and we bear fruit according to our teaching also. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And we have this litmus test, fruit from the tree. It's the conduct, the character, as I said, the teachings of the person, but it's not just what they say, it's their lives as a whole. One of the pastors at our church has a great point that he is constantly saying. He said, watch out for the teachers on YouTube. I know, you're probably watching this on YouTube right now. But watch out for them, because you might hear what they're saying, but what do you know of their lives? Be careful whom you take your teaching from. Are they producing people who are producing the fruit of the Spirit? That's a good question. Love, joy, peace, faithfulness. Or do we see in them and those who learn from them the works of the flesh? This is my question. Things like pride and greed and division. And I mean, here's a really good way, I think, to understand it. Scripture tells us that we are ambassadors, ambassadors for Christ. Scripture tells us that this place, this time, it's not our home. We are passing through here. That we are citizens of heaven, ambassadors of Christ. Now, I asked the question, what is the role of an ambassador? Very simply this, the role of the ambassador is to represent the country from which they come, to speak the words of, you know, the president, to convey the will of the prime minister, whatever it might be. For us as ambassadors of Christ, our job is the same. We must speak the words of Christ, not the words of us, me, him. Her, no. We must speak the words of Christ. He is our King. We are ambassadors for them. And here in modern times, it's becoming increasingly difficult to spot a false teacher at that first glance. But imagine if you would, I don't know, let's just take a random, very general example. The popular preacher, thousands, millions of people attracted to this inspiring, beautiful message. Success, health, wealth. The church is thriving and is growing. There are people everywhere. But over time, because you are someone who reads Scripture, you seek to understand what God is speaking also to you, something then just seems a little bit off. And you realize that what this person in this example is speaking of is things that gratify and uplift the flesh, not the spirit. I mean, where is the teaching on repentance? Where is the teaching on keeping on in the faith? Where is the teaching on denying of self? Now, I'm not saying that God does not bless us with physical things in this world. Absolutely. But I am saying that is not the primary purpose. The primary purpose is faith, salvation through to eternity, the redeeming of our souls, and we continue in the faith. This is the primary purpose. It's the whole point for why Jesus came, to restore us to the Father. What could not be done through the emptiness and the fallibility of animal sacrifice had to be done through that beautiful sacrifice of Christ. Understanding, little side note, that the wages of sin is death. Therefore, for death, that price must be paid. It's you or it's him. Well, praise God, I'm going to take him all day, any day. And I thank God for that. That's the point. So if you find over time, not just a message or three, but over time that the continual point of the preacher is to gratify the flesh, you better be careful. If their focus is more on personal gain than on gaining Christ, you better be careful. I think a good example here, if I may, and we see this throughout Scripture, but I use this one a lot, it's quite easy. Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. Jesus says something along the lines of, if you, teacher of Israel, I speak to you of earthly things and you don't understand, how can you possibly understand heavenly things? And there's a difference. Earthly things, heavenly things. A false teacher, a false prophet, a wolf in sheep's clothing will be speaking more often and entertaining earthly things than heavenly things. Let me wrap up now, if I may, just some good news. Some good news in all of this. Because yes, this is a warning to us to discern the truth. But in Matthew chapter 13, again, jot this down, I'll read it, you can look it up later, we see the parable of the net, the fish in the net. Jesus speaking says, the kingdom of heaven, it's like a dragnet. It was cast into the sea. It gathered fish of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it into shore and they sat down and they sorted them out. They gathered the good fish into the good vessels. The bad fish, they what? Threw away. You might know this or be familiar with this. Then he says, and this is the good news, so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just. Matthew 13, verse 49. The angels will come forth. So what do we learn from that? What we learn from that is they are among us. They are in the church, the body of Christ. They have come in, yet their agenda is different. The wicked from the just. The just are justified by faith, not by works. By faith in Christ, not by works. And our flesh, well, we'll let God bless us, but we focus on Him. We live in a world, folks, we live in a world where good and evil, they coexist. We see in Matthew 24, we see even further, sterner warning about false prophets coming with signs, with wonders, even so that they might deceive the very elect, the chosen of God. But nothing goes unnoticed. Nothing happens unnoticed. There will be a day of reckoning in that time when the angels, the Lord Himself also, will sort out the good from the bad. You have but one job. And this is also paralleled in the next video, the next section. So incredibly important. You have but one job: to not only know Christ, but to be known of Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And then all things shall be added to you. So you might pray a simple prayer. I was looking at this morning in my Bible study, going through the Psalms at the moment. Lord, Lord, I want to know You more than anything. I want the blessing, listen carefully, of living in Your presence. Imagine that. Oh, boy. Imagine that. And the blessing is, it's not so much as a what, but a who. Jesus. The blessing in our lives is Him. This is what we want. This is the teaching we should seek after. All right, folks, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining with me. I just give praise to God and thank Him for your faith. And if you find that you're lacking in some way, you pray, Father, increase my faith, I pray. Help me to learn. Help me to understand. Help me to discern the good fruit from the bad, to seek You first, not the things of the flesh. These things we pray. Amen. Talk soon. Bye-bye.